Well, good morning. Is everybody awake and alert this morning? I have a foundational teaching message this morning that I feel like is basic to Christian living, to the journey that we're on. And I trust this morning that it'll be edifying, instructive, and interesting. Hope it captures your attention because it's an important message for us to really get a hold of. I was reminded of a verse in 2 Timothy, and you don't need to turn to it at this point, but it's where Paul told Timothy, said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And I believe that we have reached the time in this world where multitudes of professed Christians are at that place where they are as interested in finding ministers and churches and teachers that preach a doctrine that is more consistent with their desired way of living then they are concerned about finding truth. Really, what the Lord wants us to do is find truth and adjust our lives to truth. Not try to adjust truth to how we would like to live our lives. And I feel like that this society that we're in and the influences that are around us is very much adversely affecting how truth is perceived and what truth is. And this morning, sometimes messages have to be preached on things that would seem to be obvious, seem to be clear, and yet if they're not preached on with time and with the influences that are around us, it isn't so obvious and it isn't so clear. And so this is my message this morning. It's simple, but it's important. There is a difference between truth and untruth. They're not the same. And the difference doesn't change. The difference between truth and untruth, it doesn't change with time. And here's the last point of it. I'm not the one that gets to decide what truth is. There's a difference between truth and untruth, and I'm not the one that gets to decide what the difference is. And so what that means is, God is the one that gets to decide. He's the one that has the decision rights on what is truth and what's not truth. And He's going to be my judge. And because of that, I want to make sure that I have an understanding of what truth is. I want to know what it is that God wants me to understand in my life as truth so that I can live my life according to that, so that when I get to the end of the way and stand before God, who is truth, He is the epitome of truth. He is truth. They'll be able to hear those words, "Well done. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Because if I don't, there's only one other option. We heard about that yesterday. There's only one other option. And that is that if you follow something that's not true as given by God, you follow a path of untruth and you end up bearing the consequences that are associated with not living according to truth. We know these things, but they're important. So I'd like to turn now to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, and I'd like to start in the Old Testament. and read a stirring account. Pray for me that the Lord will help me deliver this message. In the 10th chapter of Leviticus, and this picks up after the tabernacle was built, exactly according to the law of God. And it said, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died right there before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh thee, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near, and they carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar and his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." Now, right before this account took place, we find that Aaron had gone into the tabernacle and had offered a sacrifice exactly according to the commandment of the Lord. And you remember what happened? When he did that, God sent fire down from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice that Aaron had offered because God was pleased with it, and all the people saw it and they rejoiced and they bowed down on their faces. God was pleased with it. Because it was exactly according to the truth. It was exactly according to the word of the Lord. Oh, but now something different has happened. Now, following just after that account, two of Aaron's sons, they decided they were going to offer a sacrifice before the Lord. And they took the incense, and it says here that they took strange fire or common fire. And they went into the tabernacle and they offered it before the Lord. But here's the thing. They did it in a way that was not according to the commandment of the Lord. But wait a minute. They did it before the Lord, didn't they? They weren't offering it before idols. It wasn't like they were going out and offering it to something that was evil and heathen and bad out there. I mean, they were coming before the Lord, and it was an offering before Him in His tabernacle. And it was fire. They were supposed to take fire. They were supposed to have a censer. They were supposed to have incense. They had all of those things. What's the problem? There's a problem. The problem was they didn't do it according to the word of the Lord. And God wasn't pleased with what they had done. They came before Him, but they took upon themselves and made a decision. God commanded this, but I'm going to do it just a little bit differently. I'm going to change it just a little bit, and we're going to do it like we want to do it today. And the Lord, He took that very seriously. Folks, God doesn't want us to take His truth and modify it. God's not interested in us coming before Him, if you will, and hanging His name on it and saying it's for good when it's not according to His commandment. The Pharisees were religious, but they weren't godly. You read back over in the Old Testament, the minor prophets. Read what David said and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah and Malachi. And there's probably more. But you read in there, in the Old Testament, mind you, not the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when they were under the law. And you know what they all said? All of them were in agreement. They said, listen, God is not so interested in your sacrifice. He's not so interested in the tears that you shed on the altar. He's not so interested in your fastings. He's not so interested in whatever you put upon yourself that may cause you some trouble and sacrifice in your flesh. That's not what He's so interested in. God wants your obedience. That's what He wants. He wants your obedience. Yes, He said they were under the law. There were sacrifices that they needed to offer. But if you offer the sacrifice in a way that is inconsistent with the Word of the Lord, God's not pleased with it. We live in a world like that today, folks. We heard last night of the broad way that leads to destruction. The way has got to be broad enough to handle all the churches and all the professed Christians and all of the people who profess the Lord but are doing it in their own way. I don't want to be in that number. I want to understand what it is that God wants for me, and I don't want to deviate from it. And I don't want to try to twist it around and try to pull the Lord into it when it's different from what God commanded. Saul did that. The word of the Lord came to Saul and they told him, they said, you go out and you destroy the Amalekites. Remember? And they said, destroy everything. Every single thing. All the animals. Man, woman, and child. The bad things, the good things, destroy it all. Destroy all the people. Destroy the king. But Saul went out and he didn't do that. He destroyed all the things that didn't look good to him. And they kept the sheep and the oxen. And they kept the good things. And they let Agag survive. And when Samuel approached Saul, before Samuel got anything out of his mouth, if you read it, at least that's the way it's recorded in the Bible, when Samuel approached Saul, Saul was real ready to quickly say, I've done everything that the Lord said to do, just like I was told to do. That's just exactly what I did. Samuel said, yeah, but what about the sheep that I hear out there? What about the bleating of the sheep? And what is the meaning of the oxen that are lowing out there? What's all that mean? Oh, that? Well, the people, they kept the best for what? What did he say? Yeah, an offering unto the Lord. We kept the best so that we could offer it unto the Lord. Was God pleased with that? No, He wasn't pleased with that. That was a bad day for Saul. That is when the presence of the Lord began to depart from Saul. Folks, it's serious business when we begin to take what is righteous and godly and truth, and we begin to take this and modify it to meet the lifestyle, what we want to live, how we want to partake of this or that, how we want to direct our steps, and then pull the Lord into it and say, well, the Lord should be pleased with this because of X, Y, and Z. Well, I'm making a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, I cry tears. I mean, my heart. God wants us to cry tears. God wants us to fast. God wants us to do these things to help us to get our minds focused on Him. But He wants more than anything for us to be interested in knowing, Lord, what is it that You would have me to do, and not try to deviate from it. God help us. We live in a time where more and more is being done in the name of the Lord. But it's not from God. It's contrary to the Word of the Lord. It's so counter to what He presents in His Word. And Jesus said in one place, He talked about the people that would honor them with their lips, but He said, their hearts are far from Me. Isaiah said, there's going to come a day when people put good for evil and evil for good and wrong for right and right for wrong and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, light for darkness, darkness for light. We are in that age, folks. And if we're not real careful, we will be influenced by it. We are being influenced by it. The question is, what are we going to do about it? We have a choice to make. I want to know what the Word of the Lord says. I want to know, Lord, what is truth? What do You want from me? Lord, what is it that You want me to get a hold of that I can direct my life in the way that You're pleased with? We live in a world today, folks, where we are so accustomed to having lots of options. We like to customize. Who here doesn't? There's more cars and vehicles and options than you can shake a stick at. You go to the restaurant and there's 5+ pages on the menu. Sometimes it'd be nice if there were 3 items. But there's not, and you almost get confused. I don't even know what I want. And yet we'll take 5+ pages in the menu and still try to customize it. I'll take a combination of 3 and 4, and if you could hold this and add this, and I really don't want it exactly like. We're accustomed to that. Clothes, food, you go down the road, have it however you want to have it. And these sorts of things can start to affect how we think spiritually. I remember one time I was with one of my children and we were going somewhere and there was a man on the street corner with a sign and it might have said, I don't know if it was asking for money or food. So I went and I got some food and I bought him a hamburger and I came by and we rolled the window down and handed him the bag of food and he took that and he looked like he needed a lot of help, by the way. And I went on my way and went to do what I needed to do. And when I got done and I left and I was at the intersection, I looked over and there was that man that I gave that hamburger to, and he was sitting on the curb and he had that hamburger opened up and he had all the pieces spread out in front of him. And he had the bun and the meat and the lettuce and the tomato and the pickles. He had it all separated out in front of him. Because there's some of it looked like maybe he didn't want and didn't like. He was in great need, but he was going to split it up and take what looked good to him. And I want to say this morning, we are in great need of the whole entire truth. We are in great need of it. We need to be out there with the sign, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I need help. Lord, help me to get what I need, the food to my soul that I need. And then not take what He gives me and put to the side that's not convenient. That doesn't taste good. It isn't going to work that way, folks. We need to get past that. Well, the Lord wasn't pleased with what happened here. And it said that there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And these sons of Aaron, they died right there. Right in the midst of their sacrifice, the Lord came down and consumed them with fire. And I want to say this today, that just before this happened, the fire of the Lord came down and it consumed the sacrifice and His glory was fulfilled. In the next instance, His fire came down and it devoured the men. And I want to say this, the fire of the Lord will be applied to your life. You get to decide whether or not it's going to be a consuming fire or it's going to be a fire that sanctifies your life because the Lord is pleased with how you're living your life. But there's not something in between. The Lord's fire isn't going to miss us. It's going to catch us one way or the other. I want to make sure that I'm living so that I understand what the truth of the Lord is. Well, we read on down further. And we find that the Lord told Moses, or told Aaron after this, He said, here's the deal. And by the way, before we get to that, did you notice how he told them to react when this happened? He basically said, listen, don't go around and act like you're all sad and grieving and carrying on. Don't put yourself in the place where you begin to grieve to the point that it's like you're sorry that God's judgment came down and He was too harsh, because God is truth. He's right. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to push to the side. Truth I'm talking about. The Word of the Lord should be embraced and it should not be sorrowed. And He gave this instruction to them. And then He told Aaron, He said, all right, here's the thing. From now on, don't drink wine. Don't have strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. Why did He say that? Because that there may be a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and between clean. God wanted to make a distinction. This was the old law. And He wanted to teach them, folks, there is a difference between what is right and what is wrong. And me being God, I'm the one that decides that, not you. And when you go outside of the truth, when you take liberty with the truth and you begin to apply it in a way that was not from God, maybe you didn't take the time to find out what the truth was. And you thought, well, yeah, let's just go ahead and do this. God is not pleased with that. And He won't bless that. And I also say this in passing, who is the temple of God today? Aren't we? Aren't we the temple? Do you think God would be pleased with us taking in strong drink and messing up our minds to where we're not thinking straight and then make a decision that is ungodly and unholy? How do you think God's going to take that? I don't think He's going to take it very well. There's a reason why we teach not to drink these sorts of things. It's because if you drink these things willingly and now you can't think straight and you begin to make decisions that are outside of truth, God's not pleased with that, and it isn't going to work for us to say, well, that wasn't my heart. I wouldn't have done that. Otherwise, you willingly put yourself in the place to get caught up with this thing and went down a road that was unlike the Lord. And it's not just strong drink, folks. It's the reason why. It's to get a hold of this. It's the reason why we teach and we preach. Be careful who you associate with. Be careful about becoming intoxicated with the entertainment of the world and all of the things that the world would like to put in front of our eyes to look at. Oh, it's so quick. I mean, we can look at stuff. We can watch things. We're influenced like 24/7 all the time. And if you're not really careful, there's a reason why the Scripture says, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Yes. We can be overcharged to the point that we don't handle the temple like we ought to handle the temple. God's interested in us taking care of His temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord, and that the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? God's serious about it, folks. You see how serious it is to understand if we're the temple and God's dwelling within us? Don't you think we ought to know what the Lord wants us to live like so that He can remain there? He doesn't have an option. He has to leave. If we're not going to follow the truth, we're walking away from Him. He can't abide where there's unholiness and unrighteousness. And under the old law, He wanted them, and by extension, He wants me and you today to understand that there's a difference between right and wrong. And it isn't according to what everybody around us says. It's not made up by all of the committee in a church. It's not political. It's not what our family stacks hands on and decides, here's how we're going to think about this. You know, there's security in that. It's a false security. But we like when there's lots of numbers, you know, and everybody agrees, yeah, I think this ought to be an okay way to go. That's what's happening in the nominal Christian world. That's the reason why there's such a form of godliness out there, but there's no power. It's the reason why people say, well, I don't understand why the Lord's not answering my prayer. I've been fasting and I've been pleading for Him to direct my life and things aren't going well in my life. And it says in the Bible that He'll help me and He'll do all these things for me. And yet, you yourself know that there's areas in your life where you made a decision to deviate from truth and go in a different direction over here, but then in this thing over here, you want the Lord to come in and bless your life. The Lord wants obedience from us. The Lord wants us to go out of our way to understand what the Word of the Lord says. He wants us to know what is truth. Say this, we go out of our way to learn a lot of other things, don't we? We spend a lot of time, don't we, looking into a lot of other things. You know, if we were to categorize the amount of time that we spend on all the things we spend time on, and then stack up how much time we spend understanding what the Word of the Lord says, I imagine all of us here today might be sobered by it. If nothing else, sobered by it. Because we're going to be judged according to truth. We're going to be judged according to the truth that was available, made available to us, whether or not we availed ourselves of it or not. One of my employees one time said, Rod, I don't read the Bible because I'm afraid once I read it, I'll be held accountable to it. And I don't want to live like that. I said, well, you're accountable to it now. You know it's there. He died in a car accident not long after, under the influence. And he's out in eternity today because he wasn't willing to give himself to truth. It's serious business this morning to understand what truth is. It's serious business for us not to put ourselves in the place where we want to begin to make the distinctions on whether or not it ought to be okay or not. The Lord, over and over in the old law, works to try to get that across to us. There were strict laws that He gave back in the Old Testament, remember, on what you could eat and what you couldn't eat? Remember? He said, these things are clean, these things are not clean, don't eat them. Well, why did He do that? It's like, well, did one not taste as good as the other? No, the Scripture clearly says it's because He wanted to make the point that, hey, there's a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between clean and unclean. There's a difference between holy and unholy, and I'm the one that gives you that law. I'm the one that determines that. So, don't eat this, and you can eat this. We don't do that today because we're in the New Covenant. Jesus Christ came. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. But under the law, which was a schoolmaster, the whole intent of it was for us to begin to understand that God was God. We are the created, not the Creator. And there's a difference between right and wrong. He said, you can offer these things to me. These are acceptable sacrifices. These things over here, they're not acceptable sacrifices. Don't do it. He said, if you have leprosy, you need to be separated from the rest of the people because you're unclean. Do you remember? And under the law, it wasn't just people that had leprosy. There was laws, if a person had leprosy, if your house had leprosy, if your garments had leprosy, and that happened back then. He said, if that happens, there's to be a separation that happens. Because they can't coexist. You can't put clean with unclean and have everything be okay. I'm not going to bless that. And who was it that got to then decide whether or not a person still had leprosy or not? Was it the person that had the leprosy? No. They didn't get to say, you know what? I think this ought to be good enough. This isn't going to hurt anything. I don't think this is going to get on anybody. And plus, it kind of blends in. I think it ought to be okay. Nope, that wasn't the law. The law was they had to go to the priest. And the priest was the one that looked at their skin or looked at their house or looked at their garment and said, yes, it's clean or it's unclean. They didn't have those decision rights. Was it just, you know, just a good idea back then? Just something God thought up under the law just because it sounded good? No. He was trying to get across to us there is a distinct difference. And I'm going to continue to repeat it. There's a distinct difference between right and wrong. And God's the one that establishes what that is. And if you are found in a place where you have sinned and you're wrong, there was opportunity to become cleansed. And if everything became okay, the priest could then say, you're clean and you could go. Who is our high priest today? It's Jesus. And Jesus is the one that is the Word of life, is He not? He is the living Word of life. Jesus Christ is. And so now Jesus is our priest. We go to Jesus who is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one that brought grace and truth. For the law came by Moses. It was a schoolmaster. It taught us that there's a difference between right and wrong. God's the one that decides that. The priest is the one that says whether or not you can come back and coexist with everybody else that's out there. And now Jesus is our priest. He's in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Jesus Christ is the one who now brought grace and truth. Now the law is fulfilled. Now we understand, okay, there's a difference between right and wrong. I'm not the one that decides what's right and wrong. And plus, they couldn't live to it anyway back then. That's the reason why there were sacrifices that they could make so that they could get forgiveness for what they did wrong. But now we move through that point, and the Lord says, okay, now it's time for the new covenant. And now Jesus Christ came, the law was now fulfilled, and now He brought grace and truth. He brought grace that we might live according to truth. And Jesus Christ is truth. It's not me. It hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter what lens that I look through to understand whether or not it's truth. It doesn't change. And today, folks, regardless of what nominal Christianity says, regardless of what the world says, there is still a difference between right and wrong, and God is the one that makes that decision. Have you ever heard people say, well, I don't see what's so wrong with this? Based on what? Where'd that come from? Based on whose opinion? Where did you get that? Did you find it in the Word of the Lord? And too many people like to point to that verse that says, work out your own salvation. Have you ever heard that? They say, well, look, you work out your own salvation, I'll work out mine. You don't judge me, I'm not going to judge you. We're going to work it all out. But not nearly enough time is spent on that piece, that little piece that comes right on the end of the work out your salvation. What does it say? With fear and trembling. Why? Why do I have to work my own? If it's my own salvation, why do I need to work it out with fear and trembling? It's me. It's because it's not my salvation. It's because it's not your salvation. It's because you're not the one that decides what truth is. You're not the one that gets to decide this is right or wrong or clean or unclean or righteous or unrighteous in my life. And yet we live in a world today where it's promoted, it's petted, it's coddled. It's okay. If you feel okay about it, you go ahead and do it. It's just, you know, it's all about your heart. As long as your heart's right. Listen, God knows your heart. Be careful what you say there. Because God knows your heart real well. And so the Scripture says, you work out your own salvation because somebody over here might got it wrong. They may not have gotten it from the Word of the Lord. You need to work out your salvation so it's personal, so that it's more than a form of godliness, so that you can have power in your life. And you work it out with fear and trembling because your eternal soul is at stake. Folks, eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. And the one that decides where I'm going to go is the one that is truth. He is truth. And He's going to judge me according to truth defined by Him. The Word of the Lord. That gives me pause. It causes me to feel sober because I'm going to stand before that kind of judge. Lord, help each one of us. I'd like to turn now to the New Testament. Bear with me. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Very important that we understand this truth. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, in the 32nd verse, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but I came to send a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, his daughter against his mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life, you're going to lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. I want to be found of God in peace. And the only way I'm going to be found of God in peace is if I subscribe and give myself to the righteousness of God, which is defined by God. And it gets close because it talks here of denial. It talks here of turning and taking my eyes off what I want, what I think is right, how I think I ought to be able to live, because we all do that, don't we? All of us just say, well, I think, okay. I mean, we're all entitled to that. We all think pretty strongly of our opinions too. But there comes a point that this Scripture says you have to be willing to deny yourself. Deny yourself to what? Deny yourself to whatever you need to deny yourself to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to say this. Sometimes we can think that we can read this verse and it says, well, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you. And if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Listen, a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says Jesus isn't going to cut it. A t-shirt that says Jesus isn't going to cut it. A necklace with a cross on it that you carry around with you wherever you go isn't going to cut it. That's when you confess the Lord to the world, confessing the Lord, God is truth. So when you give yourself to truth and you begin to live according to truth and truth begins to live in you, you are confessing Jesus Christ to the world. You see the difference? You don't have to stand out on a street corner with a bullhorn and profess Jesus and say, okay, I got that. But it's more, Lord, help me live according to the Word of the Lord. And when we do that, we will, by extension, confess Jesus Christ to the world. On the other hand, if we choose to take certain bits of truth, well, I don't really want that. That's kind of tough for me right now. And well, that doesn't fit real well with where I'm at here in life. And I, you know, that was for a different generation. You are denying Jesus Christ when you do that. This doesn't mean that you go out, well, this is denial, but it's not what it all is. If you go out and you say, I don't believe in Jesus, and I'm not going to subscribe to the Word of the Lord, that's denial. But you know that's not what most people do. Most people just choose not to let the whole Word of the Lord have entrance into their lives. Most people just turn away from some of, well, I'll deal with that later. That's not a real convenient time right now. Well, that's kind of tough. That's denying the Lord. That's what it's talking about here. If you deny me, You're denying truth because the Scripture says that He is truth. It's a simple concept to understand, but it's harder to apply when it gets close, isn't it? The 34th verse, he says, "Think not that I'm come to send peace, but I came not to send peace, but a sword." Jesus Christ came to bring truth. The Lord didn't come just to do whatever was required so that everybody could have peace. The Lord came to bring truth. That's what He meant. I came to bring a sword. That's why I came. Because the truth is what eventually will save you. But it's not going to necessarily bring peace across the world. Because not everybody's going to subscribe to it. But I came to bring a sword. I came to bring a peace. Not peace, but truth. And that was the reason why Jesus Christ came. Is it that Jesus didn't want peace? No. Jesus would like there to be great peace across the world. But He knew that what He was bringing was going to cut across the grain of so much that was being promoted by the people that were living in that time and in today's time. Were He to come and go through the streets today, the Lord came to bring truth. And do you know what truth does? By very definition, truth separates. That's what a sword does, isn't it? The whole purpose of a sword is to separate. So that instead of having one piece, you have two pieces or multiple pieces. The sword is meant to separate. And truth, by definition, separates. It separates out what's true and it separates what isn't true. Because if you have things that are true, you're necessarily going to have things that aren't true. That's just how it works. And it's not dependent on whether or not it hurts or not. That the Lord doesn't define truth as, well, how is this going to affect this person? It's not dependent on my family, my houses, my lands, my reputation, the course that I'm going to take in life. That's not what it depends on. Truth is truth. And it's sure. And it's a sure foundation. And it isn't going to move. And it will separate. And God's intent was not to come down and just give us something so that everything that we love, we can all, you know, hold hands and sing kumbaya and everything's going to be happy and there's no accountability to a higher power and there's no change in my life that's required. We'll just make it so that everybody can be happy and everything will be all right. That's not what He brought. Jesus brought a sword. Jesus brought truth. And regardless of where it cuts, He's going to cut out untruth from truth. And folks, I want to be in the place where I'm willing for the Word of the Lord to have room in my life to separate out that is wrong and that is not truth. That is unholy. That is unclean. I want that to happen in my life. I was thinking one time I had a situation that was difficult. And I was trying to kind of figure out how all those pieces could fit together. And I was struggling with it all. And all of a sudden this thought came to me that was so plain. And it was, truth is not always easy to work around. Truth doesn't just move however you want it to move. If it's true, it's true. You're going to have to work around it. It's not going to change. It's not like a jigsaw puzzle where, and we've all done this, you know, you find a piece that almost fits and, oh, you want so bad. I think it'll fit. And sometimes a little corner is flipped up and you just leave it there a while. Why are you leaving it there? Take it out. They knew what they were doing when they built the jigsaw puzzle. It'll fit when you find the right spot. But what we do is we would like it to be able to fit. But truth's not like that. We can't put truth together and create the picture that we would like it to end up being. Truth already has a picture. And the Lord has sent us grace and opportunity that we could be able to live our lives so that we could become more and more and more in conformance with truth. And it's important that I do that. It's important that you do that. So one of the sacred responsibilities that God has given to all of us is to become acquainted with the Word of the Lord. How much time do you spend in the Word of the Lord? Are you comfortable with it? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in your life to help you understand what the Word of the Lord is saying here? The Scripture says in Ephesians 6 and 17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life, saints. Spend time in the Word of the Lord. It's going to make all the difference. Don't waste your time trying to make things fit that you want to fit just because it's painful not to. If it's truth, let truth have its way. And don't allow yourself to be deceived by doing a whole bunch of sacrifice and fasting and all of these other things over on this side, knowing full well that you are bucking up against and willfully turning away from truth over here. Have you ever noticed sometimes that when people go away from the Lord, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, I've just observed it since I was a teenager, that it seems like when people start to go away from the Lord, sometimes their testimony gets louder. Have you ever seen that? And it almost seems like, wow, they are more interested in the Lord than I've ever seen them being interested in the Lord. I mean, they talk about God all the time now, and their testimony, I mean, it seems like they have a good testimony, and yet, how they went this other way, and they're doing these things that doesn't really seem consistent, and yet, everything seems so good. They seem like such a good person. How does that all match up? And the enemy uses that to cause a delusion. He uses that to confuse us and to start breaking down our internal belief that truth is truth and God is the giver of it, and He's serious about it when He says, this is the Word of the Lord. May God help us to have our eyes anointed with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit that we might be able to see real truth, not presented by somebody else, and that we will be willing for the truth to come and do whatever cutting it needs to. Paul said, for the Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divider asunder of soul and spirit. Who here this morning could go out and gather up 100 people off of the streets right now with different backgrounds, different beliefs, maybe never heard about the Bible before, bring them in here and in quick business describe to them the difference between the soul and the spirit? How many would like to take that on this morning? But truth can do it. The Word of the Lord and with the Spirit that comes down and deals in our lives, the Word of the Lord gets down in the very closest of places. Bone and marrow, sometimes you don't know where it starts and where it ends, but the truth knows exactly how to separate it all out. And I want to give you this caution. People that say, well, the Lord knows my heart and I feel like this is okay and this is what I'm going to do. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Living for the Lord requires a lot, many doses of intellectual honesty. You've got to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with the Lord. He already knows. You can tell people whatever you want to tell people. You can tell them why you're living a certain way, why it ought to be right, why the saints aren't teaching this right, why it's outdated and aged and it's not necessary. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because this Scripture also says that the Lord is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now here's the good part, folks. The Scripture also said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not like it's bad. Truth is a good thing. Truth is what gives us life. The Lord came to bring His truth because He saw we were in need of it. And it was the very key for us to getting out of that sin business and getting separated from the very things that are hurting us. And the Lord's saying, yes, it might be a little bit painful as we separate the good from the bad, but trust me on this. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He didn't say that it'll always be pleasant, but He said it would make you free. Free from sin and death. And I want to end with this. Understanding truth involves discipleship. And discipleship involves following Jesus. Who are you following today? What's important to you? Where do you spend your time? Where do you get your information? What informs your thought process on what is right or wrong? Discipleship, by definition, means that you are following and you're imitating somebody else. I have got to be close coupled, close connected with Jesus Christ for me to have access to grace and truth. It's made available to everybody, but my responsibility is that I follow Jesus Christ. Be encouraged this morning to be a disciple, wherever it takes you. However much pain it might cause in the short term, be willing for the Spirit to come in your heart. Be open to whatever it is the Lord says about course changes that you may need to make in your life. Be open to it. It's the key to life. It's the key to eternal life. Allow the Lord free reign in your heart and life. Be a dedicated disciple. Be a dependable disciple. Follow closely to the Lord. Block out the noises and the voices and the spirits of the world that would have you feel like you can live kind of however you want as long as your heart's right, whatever that means. A heart that's right is a heart that wants the truth given by the Lord. And when we do that, and we give ourselves to the Lord in that way, God has promised to hold us and protect us and to walk with us and to help us through the trouble that we have in life and to give us hope and to give us security and to put a new song in our hearts, give us peace in our hearts and walk with us all the way to the end to where when we stand before the Father, the God of heaven, the God of all truth, Jesus will be right there beside us saying, "This is my child." And we can hear those words, "Well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I trust these words have been an encouragement and a challenge to you this morning. Pray for me.